Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The America 360 series is a very interesting collaboration of the National Journal and the Atlantic. They are looking at how Americans are adapting to changing economic realities, and you don't have to go much farther than Milwaukee, Wisconsin to look at changing economic realities. And so the National Journal and the Atlantic and their America 360 series decided to focus attention on Milwaukee. Last week, it was a series, a week-long series on Milwaukee. The author of the piece, Sophie Quinton, who is a staff reporter at the National Journal and the Atlantic, came to our city and talked to people at City Hall, talked to business people and people at universities and with neighborhood improvement organizations to find out how this city is changing, what's working, and what remain the stubborn problems in the city of Milwaukee. So we're talking the first half hour of the show with Sophie, and later in the hour we'll speak with Mayor Tom Barrett, who of course is the mayor almost 10 years now of the city of Milwaukee. We'll be welcoming phone calls, 800-486-8655. What about the high rate of poverty in Milwaukee? Manufacturing jobs, they were huge in this city at one point, really family-supporting jobs. What happened to those jobs? The young people who are moving into the city, how many are there and why are they coming here? And what kind of new industry is beginning to emerge in the city of Milwaukee? So we welcome phone calls as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Sophie Quinton, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. It's great to be here.
Yeah, quite an assignment. You rolled into town and you have to get the essence of a town, what its problems are, what its joys are, in a relatively short period of time. And I think you did a marvelous job. You really did.
Oh, so, thanks.
Yeah. Did you like it here?
I did. I liked it a lot.
What struck you most? Because we tend to be kind of an undiscovered city. People don't know very much about Milwaukee. Was it the lake? Was it the friendliness? What struck you initially?
Certainly the lake and the friendliness. I think that one thing that struck me was sort of the beauty of the downtown architecture, which, you know, a lot of the buildings there were built at, you know, the turn of the century, the sort of Victorian period. And there's a lot of renovation going on and a lot of new stores coming into those lovely old buildings. So that's something that I didn't really expect that struck me as a positive.
Mm-hmm. You obviously didn't grow up in the Midwest.
No, I didn't.
Where are you from?
I'm from the UK originally, and I've actually grown up all over. I grew up there. I spent my childhood in Asia, and I spent my college years and my high school years here in the US in New England. Oh, so now I live in DC.
You have a real world perspective then, don't you? Which is a great thing in writing an article like this. The stubborn poverty in the city of Milwaukee, you write about this. One quarter, you say, of city residents live in poverty. This is a large problem for employment, for family supporting jobs, and for this city. Would you say it's the number one thing that you saw as being problematic?
I think that's, I mean, it's kind of hard to say that it's more problematic in Milwaukee than it is in most comparable cities. I think that, you know, inner city poverty is one of the, you know, the big challenges that really any city faces. I think one challenge that Milwaukee faces, as well as that, that's something that's also new and that is also becoming more and more common, is not only the fact that it's hard for people in low-income communities to find good jobs, but that it's becoming harder for people who, you know, used to be able to find more middle-class family-supporting jobs in the past. That kind of work is also harder to find. So I think that the combination of those two things is a big problem, both in Milwaukee and in other cities.
I know that you spend some time talking with a number of people about water, and you taught me a lot about this new global water center. We're going to have to do a show on this. When you look at Milwaukee, you mentioned the lake. It is a huge body of fresh water. You have to believe that the Great Lakes are going to be phenomenally important to not just this area, but it'll be an attractive place to be because of the shortage of water in so many other large cities, don't you think?
Yeah, that was one of my takeaways from looking into what's going on in sort of the water technology industry. Milwaukee is kind of in an interesting place because there are a number of industry leaders that are trying to build a water technology industry cluster, which is something that I think is very hard to do, and that there's a lot of debate, particularly in the economic development world, over whether or not it's possible for public policy to grow this new industry base, or whether it's something that has to sort of emerge organically when a big new employer like a Microsoft or a Google comes to town and starts, you know, really getting things moving. But yeah, the fact that the Great Lakes are there, the Great Lakes have, you know, been a driver of Milwaukee's economy since, you know, before the first white settlers arrived from Europe. And I think that it's fair to say that they're going to continue to be a driver moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was you who said it or the mayor who said it. The reason the Midwest grew as a manufacturing powerhouse 100 years ago was because of the lakes.
Yeah.
So as drought becomes more persistent, you would think that something's going to happen here, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of things could happen here.
Yeah, I think a long-term bet that the Water Council folks are making, and this is something that a fellow at the School of Freshwater Sciences suggested to me, they're sort of making a long-term bet that over time a lot of industry that's moved to the south and the southwest because it's cheaper, the costs of operating there are going to go up and up as those places become more water-stressed. And the availability of fresh water in the Milwaukee metro area could make Milwaukee more attractive once again. I mean, don't forget, though, that as we look at changing climate patterns, changing weather patterns, and human populations taking more and more fresh water out of the ground, the Great Lakes are seeing their levels drop as well. So the Great Lakes are there, but, you know, we have to worry about their long-term prospects as well.
We think about all the manufacturing jobs having left the city, sort of the end of blue-collar working-class jobs here. But you focus in the series on Rockwell Automatic, a large number of employees, product development engineers, sales and marketing teams. Can you talk a little bit about that, how manufacturing has changed into something else and how large that is in Milwaukee and if it's growing?
Yeah, I wanted to write about a company locally that was, you know, being very successful in the new era of global manufacturing. And Rockwell Automation, as you probably know and your listeners probably know, is a $6 billion company. They have sales all over the world. They have factories all over the world, including a few here in Wisconsin. But the structure of employment at that company has really changed since even the 70s and 80s. Their flagship headquarters downtown used to be a production facility, but now it's entirely full of white-collar workers. And I think that shift, seeing fewer factory floor jobs and fewer jobs that you can do right out of high school and more work here in the United States at manufacturing companies that requires an engineering degree or, you know, basic office skills, those kinds of jobs, more and more white-collar work. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how this is a company that's been very successful and employs a lot of people, but it doesn't employ as many people as its forebears did, and it doesn't employ people in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any sense, having been here for a short period of time, but certainly there's been a lot written about and a lot of discussions about this split between Milwaukee and Madison, this split between a Democratic government in the city of Milwaukee and a Republican government mm-hmm. in the state. Did that manifest itself? Did people talk about that with you, or is that something that the press just makes a great deal of?
It did come up in a lot of the conversations I had. It wasn't really something I was focusing on in this piece, but I think that the political divide in the state is very real, and I think that makes it difficult a lot of times, as we see here in Washington, for anything to really get done when people are not only not on the same page, but and oftentimes seem to be actively trying to one-up each other. So I think that the political dimensions are pretty important.
Mm-hmm. How about people talking about collaborative ventures that have been successful? Did the mayor, we'll ask him if there are any too, because he'll be
yeah.
But did people mention anything that seems to be working because everybody's working together?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one change that the area has seen recently is that the seven counties in southeastern Wisconsin have started working together more, which is really a big step. I'm sure the mayor will talk about this. because historically there's been a really big divide between the Milwaukee metro area and its outer suburbs, let alone further afield heading to the Chicago area. So I think the effort just to get those players on the same page has been a step forward. And hopefully, you know, moving forward, there'll be the opportunities to expand partnerships with Chicago, expand partnerships out to Madison, and sort of get that whole metro area, because it really is a metro area now, sort of working towards the same goals.
I do want to invite people to join our conversation. Our number is 800-486-8655. Sophie Quinton is our guest, staff reporter at the National Journal and the Atlantic, and they've done really a very interesting series on Milwaukee that ran last week. It ran all week, every day, a new article that was written by Sophie, and it looked at the economy. She talked to all kinds of people in this city about the challenges that Milwaukee is facing, how it moves from a manufacturing community to something else. What is that? What about population growth? We're talking with her, and later this hour we'll talk with Mayor Tom Barrett about this series, The Next Economy. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. I imagine almost everybody listening has been to the city of Milwaukee at some point. How do you see it changing? What do you see as its challenges? And what about this whole water development area? Lake Michigan is here. It's big. It's big for the future, I think, of this whole area, the Midwest. What do you think? We welcome your phone calls for Sophie. I love this story, and I'm wondering, as you look at other places in the country, there are a couple questions related to this. The northwest side of Milwaukee, you write, is not a place where you would expect to find a peach orchard and rooftop solar panels. In Lindsay Heights, they've really done some remarkable work in that community, a community organization. How important, tell me about the work they've done and how important community organizations have been in attempting to revitalize difficult neighborhoods in cities in the country.
I think community organizations often don't get the credit they deserve for the work that they do. This is so I went and visited the folks who work for Walnut Way Conservation Corp, which is sort of a very small nonprofit in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood. And it's headed by this lady called Sharon Adams, who decided after living most of her, she grew up in the neighborhood, lived most of her life outside, mostly in New York City, and then decided that it was time to move home and try to build up this place that she had come from that had really fallen on hard times in her years away. So there's a real sense of neighborhood commitment there, both from Sharon and from the other neighbors that are getting involved, from the other staff employees that are getting involved. And they're really working to both make sort of build social capital in that community and also better link it to the rest of the city. Because one problem that we see in inner city Milwaukee as well as elsewhere is that poor communities are very economically isolated. Folks can't get to jobs. Businesses don't want to come in. So working on partnerships, working on growing these community gardens that can then produce fruit and vegetables for farmers markets or honey to be sold across the city. That's sort of an important link that's kind of hard to quantify, but I think is sort of helping that community gain momentum.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to John in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hello. Hey, I was just wondering what people's thoughts were on the racial segregation in Milwaukee were and how racially divided Milwaukee is right now. And I'll take my call off the air then.
Thanks, John.
That did come up in a lot of conversations I had, and it's statistically pretty evident. Milwaukee is one of the most racially segregated cities in the country, if not the most racially segregated city. But I think it's hard to say how much of the problems faced by low-income neighborhoods are really tied more to economic factors or tied more to discrimination or anything like that. So that did come up. It's obviously a concern, but I think that Milwaukee and cities elsewhere are sort of trying to figure out the best way to address that issue and to better reintegrate neighborhoods, rich and poor, citywide.
We welcome more phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. Sophie Quinton is with us. We're focusing on Milwaukee this hour of the show, as the National Journal and the Atlantic did last week in a week-long series. They're looking at how Americans are adapting to changing economic realities, how cities and those who guide the cities are doing just the same. And they focused on Milwaukee for a whole week. It's very well-written series. Later this hour, Mayor Tom Barrett will respond to the very same issues that Sophie looked at. But our phone lines are open. How do you view Milwaukee? What do you see as its strengths right now? What could it build on for its future? Are we taking advantage of this huge fresh water right a couple blocks away from us? Should we be a global water, fresh water center, really, of the world? And why not? 800-486-8655. Email, use that if you'd like. Talk at WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sophie Quinton, our guest, the first half hour. Mayor Tom Barrett will join us the second half hour of our program. Again, 800-486-8655 is the number. You cite these statistics, Sophie, and they're really quite dramatic, that the city of Milwaukee lost 69% of its manufacturing positions over the past half century, a loss of 83,000 jobs. For a city to redefine itself is no small task, right? And I'm wondering, how long do you think the people you talked to in the city thought it would take to kind of rebuild from that loss?
Yeah, you're right. It's a really big challenge, and I think that it's impossible to expect that new positions are going to crop up overnight. It's going to take some time and some rebuilding. The chancellor of UWM Milwaukee, Michael Lavelle, who I had the opportunity to speak to, he has an interesting perspective on this, because he's coming from the University of Pittsburgh, which is another post-industrial city that has basically reinvented itself by putting a big investment into healthcare and healthcare technology. I mean, that obviously played out over a long period, but they managed to make the transition from a manufacturing base to being a sort of a healthcare knowledge economy. And I think that Milwaukee people on the ground, there's a sense that things are changing and things are getting better, but it's not entirely clear yet, you know, where the new source of jobs, particularly family supporting jobs, is going to be.
Let's go to Bill in Kenosha next. Hi, Bill.
I heard you ask the question, you know, should Milwaukee become a fresh water center for the world, and why not? I would say absolutely not. I mean, if we're going to be providing the world with fresh water, we're going to be draining the lakes of it. And as a matter of fact, due to the drilling that Nestle's been doing, we're already starting to see the water lines recede. And between the ecological impact, the environmental impact, and then the fact that we'd be giving away about 30% of the fresh water that's found on the planet, shipping it overseas, I think that's a horrible idea. I mean, some point in time, we got to worry about us.
I didn't mean giving it away. I meant in terms of having a center so that we can study water, the issues of water, and also wondering if more people, Bill, might be willing to move to this part, which would help the economy, because we have a supply of fresh water. I don't mean shipping it off.
When you said the global water center, I thought you meant supply.
I was not very clear. No, I was not very clear. I think it should stay here.
All right. Well, good. At least we're on the same page about that, then.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jean in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Jean.
I wondered if your guest wrote about the cultural, musical, artistic strengths of Milwaukee.
I did not write about cultural and musical strengths, but that is definitely something that I'm interested in. I was told that I had I'd made a horrible scheduling error by coming to Milwaukee at the end of May instead of coming in the summer when all the Summerfest festivals happen. So maybe next time that would be an opportunity to write about some of those things.
Oh, it's a hopping place in the summertime.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But I agree with you, Jean. I think it is one of the beauties of this city. There is so much theater and music and no traffic jams, and the quality of the performances is quite top-notch. There's symphony, there's a ballet, there's a gorgeous art museum. I love all of that about this city.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jean?
I agree. And in the arts, we've got the MIAD, and I just think it's a huge strength of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Huge. Really enjoy it.
Thank you, Jean. Thanks for the call. Carol Lee is next in Mountain, Wisconsin. Hi, Carol Lee.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, I would like to know what the visitor's impression of our exceptional lakefront is in Milwaukee, which has a history of providing the accessibility. No high-rise resort types hotels, and even residences are not allowed to build to block the usage and the view of that beautiful lakefront and the beaches. It may limit the way we can use that waterfront in terms of that water technology, but we protect that water as an international goal, not just a goal from this state. And I'm just curious if that was part of the view. I wish I had read the articles, and I'm going to go look for them. Thanks. I'll take it off the air.
Thanks, Carolee.
Yeah, I didn't look that much into lakefront development per se, and I didn't really get a chance to explore the full extent of the lakefront development. But I think that maintaining that park space right along the lake can be a huge asset for the city, both because it's great for recreation. As you mentioned, it's great because it sort of makes that a nice place to live. It's accessible. People like having, you know, that kind of access to nature. I think that one of the things that particularly a lot of young people who move to Milwaukee kind of like about the city is the fact that it has both sort of an up-and-coming urban core, but it also, it's really easy to get to parks and even further out to Wisconsin's wilderness. So I'm in favor of it, but I can't say I've looked into it that closely.
And what about those young people? Are there a number of young people moving to the city?
I think that the city is seeing a shift. I mean, you certainly, even when you're walking around, you see, you know, a lot of young people on bikes, which you would see, you know, just like you would see in D.C. or even in New York, where obviously it's well known that a lot of young people move there. So I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think that is definitely something that's kind of new. I think the fact that there is kind of this, there's sort of a push around urban farming and sustainability, which a lot of young people get excited about, as well as, you know, sort of emerging opportunities in the financial services sector, in these more advanced manufacturing positions, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. One more call for you, Al, in Land O'Lakes. Hi.
Hi, guys. Great show. I grew up in Milwaukee, and I'm in my mid-60s, and for some reason, I moved out in the early 70s, but when I hear anything about Milwaukee, it piques my interest. I remember when George W. Bush was supposedly working with the World Bank to buy up local pumping facilities in the Great Lakes, because as we know, one-fifth of the fresh water is in the Great Lakes. And I was wondering if your guest had heard anything or knew anything about that, and I will hang up.
Thanks, Al.
I can't say that I looked into that, and I don't really know enough about it to comment on it, but thanks for your interest and thanks for the question. Maybe it's something that I should look into in the future.
Where are you going next? Or where have you been?
I went to San Antonio in February, and my colleague went to Louisville, Kentucky in April. We had another colleague who went to New Orleans, Louisiana in March, and my colleague is going to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota next month, which will be kind of a change of pace for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure where I'm going to be headed next, possibly somewhere a little further south, but still in the Midwest, like Oklahoma City or Des Moines, something like that.
And if you moved here, do you think you would have a happy life to Milwaukee, that is?
I hope so. Most of the people I talk to seem to be happy, but then again, I was sort of, you know, I wasn't asking them questions about how terrible their lives were. I was asking them about the things that got them excited about the town.
Sophie,
so I would certainly hope so.
Thanks so much. Thanks for being with us. It was a good series. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Sophie Quinton, staff reporter at the National Journal and the Atlantic. And the focus on Milwaukee was all last week, so you can just go to the internet and Google. It's America 360 series, focusing on a different U.S. city. And she told you where else they're going. But it was Milwaukee last week. So one of the people she talked to, of course, was the mayor of Milwaukee, and we thought it would be interesting to get his response. And he spent a lot of time in the interview talking about water, and I think he's on to something. Water is important, of course, to the whole Midwest, and he was quoted as saying, "I say we've allowed other parts of the country to define us as the Rust Belt. I say we're sitting on America's fresh coast, less than a mile from 20%. I repeat that, 20% of the world's surface fresh water. So for all of the communities along the Great Lakes on the American side and the Canadian, it puts us in an incredible place moving forward." We'll talk more about that with Mayor Tom Barrett, who is joining us this part of the show, and we'll be welcoming phone calls from Mayor Barrett at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Mayor Barrett, hello. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
I didn't realize you've been mayor almost 10 years now. Isn't that amazing?
It's gone very fast. There's no question about that. Yes.
Yeah. I want to spend a good chunk of time here talking about water because I don't think we think about Lake Michigan all that often. And I like this description of sitting on America's fresh coast. What does it mean for the future of the city, Lake Michigan?
Well, it bodes very, very well for the future of the city. And I think this is a situation where everything old is new again because it was really the water that created Milwaukee because of our location with the three rivers and Lake Michigan here that we became first a village and then later a city. And that's what led to our tremendous growth for the first 100 years of our existence. And there are a lot of water technology companies, and a lot of them people don't even think of as water technology companies, but even something like the breweries, if you think about
right.
how they got started here, there was technology involved there. And I think as we move forward that we should play our long suit, and our long suit is our proximity to water. I just saw this morning, for example, that the Supreme Court ruled in a case in a water dispute between Oklahoma and Texas. So you've got other states where there are fights going on over water, and here we can take that off the table in terms of access, at least in this part of the state, and for those of us who lie in the Great Lakes Basin.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about this global water center.
Well, what we envision is, and we've already begun it, so we've gotten the UN Global Compact City recognition because of water technology. And here in Milwaukee, what we have is we've got the Water Accelerator project going, which is down just south of downtown, where you've got a number of companies, and this was all led by the private sector, who decided that they would come together and try to create more of an energy there. We now have partnered with them. The state has partnered with them. We're hoping to get the federal government to be part of this as well. But it's a private sector driven initiative to highlight and to further develop the water technologies that we already have, because we've got probably close to 150 businesses in southeastern Wisconsin that are related in one form or another to water technology. And there's the obvious ones like Johnson Controls and Rockwell, Badger Meter, A. O. Smith. But then there are other smaller companies that are involved in this as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, Mayor Barrett, what it means for the Midwest to have these water shortages and actually what will become water wars in various parts of the country. What happens to a region that's got the water? I mean, do people decide to move here? Do companies, even if they're not in the water business, decide to move here because there is water here?
Well, if you look at how our country grew up, certainly the water played a crucial role. And in the 1700s and the early 1800s, the Great Lakes were more or less the interstate system, as were the rivers. The water was the way that you got goods from one part of the country to another part mm-hmm. of the country. And that's why you had places like St. Louis that had such a prominent role in the growth as the country moved to the west. But as it used the Mississippi River to get down to New Orleans and get things up here. But even if you took, this is one of my favorite things to do. if you take a look at the map of the Midwest, you'll see little, and most people probably haven't thought about or haven't noticed it. The Northwest Compact set the boundaries for the states, or what they could be ultimately with a straight line at the bottom of Lake Michigan running east. Well, first Ohio, where they had a war between Ohio and Michigan over Toledo. The Toledo War was over which state would get Toledo. And so they adjusted the southern boundary of Michigan so that Ohio would get Toledo. That's how we lost the Upper Peninsula in Wisconsin, in that trade. But then Indiana had the same gripe. Chicago at one point was in the Wisconsin territory, but they lowered the boundary again so that Illinois would have access to the Great Lakes. So so we've got this history of access to the Great Lakes, but now it becomes more important in terms, I think, of drinking water supply, because there are parts of the country, and we know there are parts of the world, that don't have a healthy drinking water supply, and we've got one in abundance right here.
Yeah. We welcome phone calls for Mayor Tom Barrett. We're inviting you to join us at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. He, of course, was interviewed for the National Journal Atlantic series that looked at Milwaukee in a series of articles, a week-long series, America 360, last week, and his interview was one of the segments. What was your we're going to go to phone calls in a moment. Did you like the series? Did you think it was fair?
I did like the series. I thought it was very fair, and I thought it put a good spotlight on us, and it recognizes some of the challenges we have, but also how we're trying to move forward as a city, as a region. And so I think anytime you get that type of exposure, it's beneficial.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls. Boyd in Milwaukee, our first caller for you. Hi, Boyd.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Mayor Barrett. Actually, for the time being, I just say this because it's a little relevant. I've been spending some time in Wautoma, and the reason is, this is sort of a two-point question. When I got furloughed from the airport, it was hard for me to get, some good sustaining work. And I know that's been kind of a dilemma with Milwaukee for a lot of people who got furloughed. But my main point is, what I think Milwaukee is really at the forefront is, thanks to people like Will Allen, is with urban agriculture. And I'm wondering if there's any potential to really, restart the local economy, not only with that, but has Milwaukee ever looked is a new urbanism movement and trying to do stuff with urban planning? And is that a potential job creator? And I just say that because, not to get into politics, but with the state government cutting funds for public transport, are there ways where they're trying to make Milwaukee a more walkable city?
Well, the answer to that question is yes. And as you may know, my predecessor, John Norquist, was very, very involved in that whole livability. He's now involved in, professionally in walkability cities and the Urban Congress and all those things, which I think is very good. And I think he got a good start here in Milwaukee. Will Allen, you mentioned his name, and he's been very, very involved in the urban agriculture movement. And what you're seeing here in Milwaukee is you're seeing a lot more focus on that. And one of the things we're trying to do is, unfortunately, we've got too much property that the city now controls through foreclosures, and we're trying very, very hard and working with our partners to transform some of those lots that become empty lots into urban gardens. And so we are very, very much excited about the notion of having more sustainability, urban agriculture, and have worked with Will Allen closely on a number of different projects. So Will's a big local favorite here. There's no question about that.
No question about that. Here's an email from Greg, who's from Illinois, who says, Milwaukee is a beautiful city, but as an Illinois resident, I would ask that you fix your sewer system. When you get a heavy rain, you dump millions of gallons of raw sewage into the lake and closes our beaches for swimming, and it happens every year.
Well, Greg might want to take a look at the Chicago Tribune. The article may have run yesterday, or maybe it was over the weekend, and it talked about how far Chicago was behind Milwaukee in developing sustainability practices, and made reference to, and I think I've got this number correct, the 11 billion gallon releases that they've had into Lake Michigan because of the storms earlier this year. Quite honestly, Illinois and Chicago, I think, are beginning to recognize that what we have done here have put us light years ahead of where they are in Chicago right now. And we're doing even more. And MMSD in particular, which is the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District, has been a real leader in green infrastructure, sustainability practices, And so we think we're headed in the right direction. So there's, I still remember 9 years ago, 10 years ago, when there were some beach closings, and they were actually on the south side of Chicago, and people were blaming us for those. And I said, well, wait a minute, let me get, make sure I understand this. So you're saying that our waste went past Racine, past Kenosha, past the north side of Chicago, and then turned right to get to the south side of Chicago? Because none of the beaches in North Chicago or Kenosha Racine were closed at that time. So I think that it's a situation where Illinois clearly has some issues. What we have done here is we have dramatically reduced our discharges into Lake Michigan, and we're trying to make it even – our goal is to have no discharges by 2035.
John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for the program. I grew up in Milwaukee. I live in Madison now, and I really admire the decision to go after water technology. My father worked for Perlick Company, and, of course, the brewing industry is attached to that water technology as well. I wonder if the mayor's thinking about the cultural heritage of Milwaukee. It is one of the cities where the German immigrants sued to have arts and culture added to the schools as public schools because they knew it was so important to the future of their children to be having a balanced education. And we had a great theater department there for a while, the UWM, that was world-class. There's a very good symphony with a world-class conductor, and this is my field, cultural consulting, and the income and revenue from this sector is just so ignored in the state and in the country in general. And I just think it'd be a really second, great second arrow in the quiver for Milwaukee.
Well, and I totally agree with John, and one of the things that's happened this year, and it was one of these pleasant surprises, if you will, is there's an organization, a national organization called Art Place, and they looked at literally tens of thousands of zip codes throughout the country, and they were trying to figure out or try to designate the 12 best or 10 best art cities in the country. And it was one of these backhanded compliments because the woman, when she was here, she said, we looked at all these factors of like how many entrepreneurs there are, how many artists there are, walkability, all those different indicators. And we did it, again, I think it was 30,000 zip codes. And she said, you know, some of the cities that we picked surprised us, which was sort of a backhanded compliment to us, that she was, in essence, saying we were surprised Milwaukee came out on this list. But I think a lot of people are surprised when they come here and they see the incredible art that we do have here.
It's a great art community.
And visual, auditory, performing arts, you name it, we've got it. And places like the Third Ward and the downtown are just exploding. The Bayview area is just exploding with art and performances. And so I think people's misconceptions or their stereotypes will be disproved if they came here and saw just how much the city has changed.
John, thanks so much for your call. We'll take more in a moment. Mayor Tom Barrett is with us this half hour. We're talking about Milwaukee. He was interviewed as part of the National Journal Atlantic series, America 360 series. They focused on Milwaukee and did a whole week's worth of articles, and pretty well done, perceptive, I think, and accurate in many regards that was in the publication last week. Mayor Barrett is with us to talk about Milwaukee in 2013, and we're welcoming calls. Lines have been busy. There are a couple openings right now, so here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email, use that if you'd like, talk@WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to phone calls from Mayor Tom Barrett, and let's go to Rich in Sauk County. Hi, Rich.
How you doing? I just want to give some kudos to the city of Milwaukee. We live west of Madison, about an hour or so, and Madison's a great town, too, but we just really enjoy getting to Milwaukee 3-4 times a year. We enjoy the arts at the plays, Next Acts and the Rep and all of those in the downtown area, and we love biking in Milwaukee. You have an awesome park system and the Oak Leaf Trail. So just keep it up.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll put you on the payroll as an ambassador. We love hearing that.
I'm sure he'd accept, too. That'd be great. Thanks, Rich, for the call. Matt in Milwaukee. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
I would like you to comment on the governor's initiative to eliminate the residency requirement for city employees. I think it's a huge assault on our property values, and I'm very concerned because in the past I've used my equity in residential property I own to, finance several businesses and employ people. And I'm just really thinking that this is, if I lose, another 20% equity in my properties, this is just going to really stifle small businesses that are often financed with home equity loans.
Well, and I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the comment, and I could talk 5 hours on this, but I won't.
I'll bet you could.
I'll give you a 30-second response. To me, the most vexing part of this is, for the last 2 years, we've clearly had the battles over public employees in the state, and most people don't realize in Milwaukee, because of a court settlement prior to my becoming mayor, that most city of Milwaukee employees don't pay toward their pension, and they can't be required to pay toward their pension because of this court settlement. What I've said is I think that if you move out of the city, that you should sign a waiver that says you're going to pay towards your pension, that would be a trade-off, because I have people who say to me, and it'll be a cop or firefighter, and I have great respect for both professions, who say, well, I want to move out of the city because the property taxes are too high. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You don't pay anything towards your pension. You don't want to pay anything towards your pension through your payroll. And now you don't want to pay anything towards your pension through your property taxes? Who do you think is paying for your pension? And the reality is that 69% of the current pension liabilities we have are for police and fire. And I think they should get a fair pension because they are public servants. But this has an impact on the city's coffers, because we have to make payments of $22 million for employees' portion for their pensions. And as you note, it puts a downward pressure on property values as well. So it is so wrong on so many different fronts. It's clearly an intrusion into local affairs. This is a law we've had here for 75 years. And from my standpoint, it violates the constitutional home rule doctrine, because why is the state coming in, getting involved in our labor negotiations? This is something that's ongoing right now. So to me, it's you had the two groups that supported the governor and the Republican legislators, and this is just politics at its worst.
Thank you very much, Matt, for your call. Jesse in Waukesha, hi.
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 Hi there.
I want to say to the mayor, I guess, that I really enjoyed the holding message that I was listening to, because my parents are both public servants. But I was calling because I really like the program.
What, Jesse? Oh, Jesse, your phone cut out. Call back. We'd like to hear from you. Actually, I think I have an idea of what you wanted to talk about, and this was covered with our conversation with the woman from the Atlantic. The young people who are moving into the city instead of locating in the suburbs, you must have a handle on this and know exactly what's going on. Are we seeing an increase in population of young people in the city of Milwaukee?
Oh, we certainly are, and I can tell you a part of the city that's hot right now in terms of young people is the Third Ward, the downtown, just north of downtown. The population has probably grown by 3,800 over the last, I'm going to say, 6 years. And the numbers I saw were 3,600. There's been a 3,600 person increase of people from 20 to 34 years old. So it is clearly a place where young people are very, very attracted to. And the irony is I'll talk to people who don't like Milwaukee and talk about all of our sins, if you will, and then they'll say, oh, but my son has moved to the Third Ward, or my daughter has moved to River West. And my reaction is, well, you say it's so bad, then why are your kids coming here? They're coming here because it's exciting. There's a lot going on here. And I can honestly say I have never seen the level of enthusiasm and engagement from young people in the city as I see right now.
Well, that's good.
It's great. It's great.
Now let's look at the opposite and the problem, which is the African-American community, and they are not, we've got problems, as you know, with employment, with segregation in the city. We were talking about 69% of the manufacturing positions having been lost during the last past half century. That's a huge 83,000 jobs lost. It has struck, I think, African-Americans particularly hard. What do you do about it? What are you doing?
Well, there's no question that the African-American community and, to a lesser extent, the Hispanic community have taken the hits. And what we need to do are several things. One, education becomes even more crucial because the jobs that are being created are the jobs that require more than a high school education. And 50, 60 years ago, if you had a strong back and a good alarm clock, you could succeed in Milwaukee. You could support your family. But as you've noted with those manufacturing numbers, we've lost tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs. The new jobs don't necessarily require a college education, but they require some education beyond high school. So that's a big part of it. But the other part of it is getting the jobs located in the city itself for people at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. That means that public transportation is important because that's how many times they get to the jobs. That's what's frustrating when I see the jobs in the suburbs, and I have nothing against the suburbs, but if you have these blue-collar jobs in the suburbs and people from the central city of Milwaukee can't get there because they don't have driver's license and they don't have access to a car and there's no mass transit, that's what leads to a lot of the problems we have. But what we're doing right now, for example, is we've done a very good job here in the Menominee Valley, where we've created hundreds of jobs in the Menominee Valley. We're embarking on something similar to that in what we call Century City, which is the old A.O. Smith Tower Automotive site just south of Capitol Drive on the north side. There's over 80 acres there. We have to get more jobs located there because that's near the population that desperately needs these jobs.
So how do you do that? How do you get more jobs there?
Well, we've got the Mayor's Manufacturing Initiative, which is one thing that we have, where we're trying to tie people literally who want the jobs to a training program. But to get them there, we are doing the city currently. If you drove past there, you'd see work is going on right now to prepare that, again, 80-acre site for having companies move in there. But we're going to have to find incentives. And a lot of this has to do with race, because we have to make these companies comfortable in a neighborhood that's predominantly African-American.
And finally, we'll take one more call in a moment. I'm wondering about the political climate in the state right now. Everybody knows that people aren't getting along with each other very well, and we see it on a daily basis. Can you point to areas of wonderful collaboration? Is there any way that Madison and Milwaukee can collaborate more or not?
Well, there has to be, because I think people want that. And we have collaborated well, for example, on some work we're doing along the lakefront in the city, the county, and the state have gotten together well there. But I am troubled by these constant shots, and residency is probably the best example or the worst example of it. I don't buy into the notion that all truth lies in Madison. And ironically, for decades, that was the same position that the Republicans took, was let's have these decisions made at the local level. Well, now that they're in control in Madison, they want to make those decisions at the state level. And I still maintain that the closer you are to the people, the bit more in tune you're going to be with them.
So where does all truth lie, Mayor Barrett?
If I can find it, I'll let you know.
I guess we're looking for that during our whole lifetimes, aren't we? Thank you very, very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. My pleasure.
Yeah, Mayor Tom Barrett, our guest. And for those of you who have not seen it, this article is really good. It's nice to see. Maybe it's because we live here and we're glad to have people come and look at us. But it's a balanced look at that which is good and that which is troublesome in the city of Milwaukee right now. It's the America 360 series. It's focusing on a different U.S. city each month. And if you would like to read it, and we hope you will, you should go to our Facebook page because, ta-da, there it is. It's on our Facebook page, and that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. So we thank the author of the piece, Sophie Quinton, for being with us, and we thank Mayor Tom Barrett, who is featured in the first of the series, Milwaukee Tries to Shed Its Rust Belt Image. It's an interview with Mayor Tom Barrett that was the beginning of this series. Thanks very much to KP Whaley and Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. Monday, another edition of All Things Political. And on Wednesday, Jonathan Alter will be with us. I think he's really a fine political analyst. He has a new book, and he will be with us Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Just an inkling of what's ahead next week during these hours from 9 to 11. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Thanks for listening. Great conversations ahead. News momentarily, and then Larry Mueller will be with you and Talk of the Nation and Chapter a Day. So stay with us on the Ideas Network.